Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That's right. The Drive is live, and we are live here, as he said, right off Ritchie Road. 15800 North Freeway is the address, so make your way on out here to this Buffalo Wild Wings. It is always a fun time on Thursday. Come on out here and do your thing. There you go. I see hear Tyler, and now see Tyler Milner in here going straight black t-shirt. I see you.
How we doing, boys?
Yeah, we're good, man. We're good, and it's gonna be a fun time. Again, we never come empty-handed. If you've not been here on a Thirsty Thursday, get on out here. Come on out for your first one. If you have, you know the drill. Got a chance to win a Texas Star Grill Shop gift card. We'll do it in the 4 o'clock hour. And also a projector. Projector to set up on in the house, outside.
You can
do what you
want to
do. It is. It is coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. 713-572-4610. Do you still use the word tight to describe something positive? Do you still... as Tyler just did there, do you still go, man, that's tight like that? I mean it came off. I'm just wondering, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, do you still use the word tight?
Got to go Tuco on them sometimes, man.
Yeah. I mean the reality of it is you just got to, it's about how you pull it off. I mean, look, Tyler wears chinos and Vans. You can roll with the tight as often as you want. You know what I mean?
I actually agree.
My man
that
walks in some Luke Casey's and Wranglers and a cowboy hat may want to steer clear of using the word tight. Talking about how tight things are. Unless he's talking about her britches. I mean, I don't know.
Next line said, I go Gucci. Yeah, that's Gucci.
Nah, it's another one, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if it's my age or just the fact that I'm not as cool as I once was. I can't pull Gucci off.
I've said it a couple times.
Gucci's a hard one for me to pull off. It's I mean, like in real conversation.
Yeah, I've used it a couple times.
You weren't comfortable with it. You were not one bit comfortable when you did it.
Not 100%. It's like me trying to say draws.
When I was drunk, I was a little bit more comfortable. A little bit more.
Well, that happens. That happens to most of us. That's why we put the poison in our system.
It. Hey, did you get the Uber? Oh, yeah, we Gucci. Like a couple of times.
Yeah, I don't know.
Super tight, bro. Super tight.
I don't know.
Champ Slice said, hell yeah. Ray said, I do. Hell yeah. Do you still use tight? Yeah, it's still. I know it still works. It uses it. I just, when I heard Tyler say it, in my mind, I thought, man, we still say it.
I feel like you have
do
to.
I still say it?
You have to be a long-time user. Like you can't,
and
you can't
that I am.
Nah, you can't just up in 2025 at you know, mid 30s, 40s, all of a sudden decide you want to go heavy tight like that. That just ain't.
I'm no stranger to the tight. It's regular for me, you know.
Yeah, just regular.
Tight what?
But you've been in there.
The word, Clint. Grow up, bro.
Oh,
come on, man. Thirsty Thursday. Yeah. It's not getting nasty.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling you. I mean, I've seen you in the bathroom, man. It'd have to be an abnormality to be tight.
But make your way on out here and come on out and have a tight time out here. And if you are in and if you're on your way, go ahead, put your name in our raffle box. You can't miss it. Big white box there and you'll have a chance to win multiple prizes that we have here today. All right, fellas, some news jumping out. And if you were listening to In the Loop, you heard it. I know I was riding in listening. I heard back-to-back segments that led off with the breaking news sounder from Figgy and the fellas. And the big news, Clint, is, and listen, something had to happen. The Astros, according to Chandler Rome, have fired. They have not parted ways. It does not say let go. It does not say a different direction. It says fired. Head athletic trainer Jeremiah Randall. Damn, Tyler.
Don't even feel bad about it.
And his 10 years of service as the head athletic trainer. And listen, it felt beyond just bad luck here in this situation. And it really didn't even start just this year. It's been the last couple of years. I mean, however Lance McCullers arrived to where he is right now over the last several years under Jeremiah's watch, it feels like it started there. But this was more than bad luck, fellas, because this was, hey, I didn't think dude broke his hand. Oh, shoot. After he swung and we got him hitting live pitching, uh-oh, he's complaining. Oh, darn. Not only was it broken, hell, it's been broken so much it's starting to heal at this point. It's now 60. We're 60% through the break, which I'd never bought that number. And then, I mean, they had some bad luck, and then they just had some, like, hey, man, what's going on? Why are we putting folks out here? It feels too quick. Why is, like, it's hard for me to not look and say, all right, Luis Garcia has to have back-to-back Tommy John after we look at you and you get him out here and something. They just had more than just guys come up and get injured, which happens normally for a baseball team. But them getting guys back on, it seemed like they didn't have good success with that. And then when they would get back on, they get hurt again. I mean, Jake Myers, we thought was good, and then he couldn't make it past the mound, trying to just run out to center field his position, and then he had to go miss another month and a half or whatever. This to me had to happen, Clint. And if they didn't make any moves there, I think a lot of Astros fans would have questioned on what the hell Jim Crane.
Yeah,
did.
Look, I think it had to happen, and I think the reason it's fired is because he was under contract. I think Citron's ran out, so he was. I mean, the verbiage there that may not mean anything more than just he was under contract, so you can't move on from somebody. You got to actually fire him. You got to terminate the contract to some degree, in some manner, right? So, but the interesting part here is, we'll make a lot about the starting pitching, and I do think obviously the injuries to the elbows are some kind of issue with what's going on, whether it's baseball or the Astros. There's some degree of what they're doing nowadays that's creating those issues. The spin rate, the infatuation with the spin rate, the era that we live in, obviously is a big part of that, putting a different level of torque on their and wear and tear on the arm. But this has to be a response to a handful of guys that I think obviously make it a no-brainer, right? And you mentioned them. The Yordan Alvarez situation where he goes out and he takes BP just to find out you need more imaging, and then the imaging shows that it's been broke all along. And then you look at Jake Myers. Hey, he's clear. He's ready to go. And he doesn't even make it to the turf in the outfield before something snaps in his calf, right? You mentioned Lance McCullers. Lance McCullers, I think, is the one pitcher here that we can look directly at because of how we saw his bone spurs or whatever the hell it was that turned into more surgeries.
They didn't want it. They didn't have surgery at first, and then they tried to just go with it with him,
right?
Then they had the
process, right? I mean, I don't know that there's a. As I said before, I don't know that an athletic trainer is out there putting a bunch of torque on an arm, trying to generate more spin and literally hurting elbows and sending guys to the Tommy John factory the way that the Astros. Like, I don't know that that is an athletic trainer more so as a guy that's literally, like, physically training these guys, not bringing them back to health. But the check in the box of, yeah, these guys are ready to go, and you've got three or four guys that walk back out there, and clearly the imaging wasn't done right. Clearly they weren't ready to go.
Clearly it's just too many guys that you seem to get back on the field too early, and then they immediately have setbacks.
Well, I think that in itself is one where you go, hey, man, we got to review this. We got to figure out what's going on. And then you get into all the starting pitchers. I'm going to tell you, the way Luis Garcia walked off the mound, and again, I don't think an athletic trainer is the one that's responsible. When a guy comes off of Tommy John like that, I would hate to think that the Astros are going, hey, head trainer, let us know when this guy can pitch. I would like to think that these are big-time doctors that are saying, yes, this guy can go. They're checking in with that guy. Surely it's not the athletic trainer that's saying, yeah, you can go back out there, and all of a sudden he's snapping forearms and elbows and everything else. That was a sad watch. That was a hard watch. It's one thing for a guy to wake up the next day and have some soreness and realize, hey, man, we've got to have some surgery. It's another thing when a guy throws a pitch and dangles his arm and looks at it like, hey, man, I can't go no more. Yeah. Right after the rehab that he just went through, so that to me is a no brainer. There's no way around it. There's no sugarcoating. There was so many issues within the Astros organization with injuries that some kind of change had to be made.
Yeah, and again, like to go to your point though, yeah, all of it doesn't fall on the trainer, but I think what this signifies is one, you know, some of it does, and two. Like, we got to re-look at and re-evaluate and just change up whatever it is that we are doing from a health perspective, a training perspective, all of it. Like, we've got to change this up. We cannot just have all the injuries and all the setbacks. And this is multiple years. I mean, you can throw Kyle Tucker in that sucker. I mean, that was a weird thing with his imaging and how the hell they went as long as they did before they realized it was a break.
But that is like to understand, like whether it was when Dean Weber when I was at Arkansas or Jim Maurer when I was with the Cowboys, like it, those guys are kind of the go-between the medical professionals and the coaches, right? And those guys lean heavily on those medical professionals to decide if and when they're ready. They also lean heavily on the strength and conditioning guys that are actually doing that part, some of that part of the rehab, right? But you got to be able to trust. You got to be able to trust your go-between. You got to be able to trust the guy that is communicating with the doctors that's informing you on what needs to happen. And it's clear there were several disconnects with the Astros, but there was the most important one is when it's having to do with player safety, when it has to do with injuries and guys coming back. So it had to be done. Whether Joe Espada was stuck around or Dana Brown stuck around or not, this part of it had to happen.
Yeah. They've got to change that and look at it. It'll be interesting to see who replaces that and what if how big or how different the changes are on how they approach things from that perspective. But 10 years, Jeremiah Randall has been the head athletic trainer for the Houston Astros. He has been fired today. Also, other moves, this also coming from Chandler Rome. The Astros are parting ways with hitting coach Alex Cintron. Sources tell The Athletic more changes are expected on the Houston coaching staff. Now, we did learn later on that the Astros also fired the assistant hitting coach Troy Snitker and also catching coach Michael Collins. I'm not sure if that's, you know, all of the other expected changes. Maybe there are going to be more, but those are a couple of others. Alex Cintron, the big one, Clint. And listen, I have, you know, for most of the year, at least defended Alex Cintron in a way of like, hey, man, like, hey, if y'all want to move on from Alex Cintron, y'all want to blame it on him, fine. I mean, the guys that were really fighting it were a lot of the guys that you probably don't think are going to, the veterans that are going to do a lot of change. And obviously, you know, maybe he did reach some of those guys in a way that they were able to make changes and you want to go in a different direction because it was so bad at times offensively. Cool. It's not that big a deal to me. I don't know that I expect that there's a new hitting coach that's going to make sweeping changes, because I think a lot of the guys that had struggles from time to time, I don't know how much they're going to change. Like, I was listening to Brandon earlier talking about their chase rate and how they don't take as many pitches. Well, I mean, you think Altuve's stopping that? right? I think Pena's in that same range. You think he's stopping that? And, I mean, if we remember, you know, some of these lineups that they ran out there, some of these guys that they had at the plate, I don't think were the plan. And, you know, if that was on Alex, that's on Alex. I don't have a huge problem with it. Obviously, their offense wasn't to where it needed to be. But for me, Clint, I don't know that I expect, boy, now this sucker's going to pick up because they changed hitting coaches. I could see it picking up because, I don't know, Yordan's healthy. or other things like that.
Well, look, I mean, regardless of how they went about it, I mean, from a runs produced standpoint, they were middle of the pack in the American League. So it wasn't just a horrible year. It wasn't ideal. But when you take into account no Yordan Alvarez, when you take into account that you lost so many guys throughout the year, that the lineup was inconsistent, I would expect to be a middle of the pack team in terms of runs scored. Now, what I think this is about is very easy. They were adamant, and they being Joe Espada is who we heard in spring training. Joe Espada came out and said, "We're going to be a more patient team."
Dana said
we are going to see more pitches at the plate per at bat. We're not going to chase. We're going to be more disciplined at the plate. Dana Brown obviously was part of that as well, and in a response to that, the Astros had the second highest MLB chase rate and saw the third fewest pitches per plate appearance as any lineup.
Astros ain't loyal.
That just can't happen. That's like the head coach coming out on a football squad and saying, "Hey, man, we're going to be a run-first football team, and you go out there and lead the league in passes per game." Yep. That just simply can't happen. So I think that has that is the general manager saying, "I want my lineup to look a certain way." And Ron, I'll argue, I know a lot of guys got injured, but I'll argue that guys getting injured and young dudes that are impressionable playing should give you a better chance of having a better chase rate or a lower chase rate, if you will, because the younger guys are more coachable. Because you're right. When you look at Altuve, his ass is going to chase if he wants to chase. That ain't one that's going to swing. He ain't going to swing that number. But this lineup this year had so many guys that should be just fall-in-line type of soldiers for the organization where that shouldn't be the case. And so I think this is a general manager wanted it done one way. It's not his guy, right? These are all Jeff Luhnow guys. And, I think it was time to move on because it ultimately the reasoning behind it is you didn't accomplish what I wanted accomplished from jump.
Yeah, the thought is like, hey, man, our offense just wasn't to the level it should have been. And as you said, you know, those things in particular we wanted to see change and it got worse. Cool. I we'll see. We'll see if the next hitting coach can have that big of an impact. I think if they are much more healthier, you know, not like the most injured team in the history of Major League Baseball, and they have their guys up there and they don't have, you know, six Sugarland guys in the lineup a night, I think that probably is going to help the next hitting coach, you know, to go along with all the things they're looking for. So that is the latest. The Astros with some big news, not really surprising news, but some big news to come out to start today.
Well, the other part of that, Ron, is let's not fool anybody. I mean, it very well could be Dana Brown and Joe Espada. Hey, you got one more chance. How do you want to go about it?
Now.
You want to go down with the same crew that Jeff hired back 10 years ago? Or do you want to bring some of your guys in here and see if you can't right the ship? And I would imagine that both of those guys said, yeah, we'll clean house and we'll right the ship. We'll try a different game plan with a different staff, if you'll keep us around here for another year and see if we can get it done. So I don't know if that's the case, but it wouldn't be the first time that that's happened.
No. All right, coming up as we continue live here right off Ritchie Road, we're at Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll be here till 6 o'clock on a Thirsty Thursday. Shout out to Bud Light. Shout out to Buffalo Wild Wings for holding us down here. Coming up as we continue, it's been two big wins and two wins against opponents that, you know, are lower than what the Texans have seen throughout the rest of the season and potentially what they will see the rest of the way. What things have they been able to accomplish over the last 2 weeks that, hey, they've got to prepare themselves that this won't be as easy as it was? We'll discuss that coming up.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings and I-45 in Ritchie, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, here we go as we are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings, right off Ritchie Road. Come on and make your way on out here, 15800 North Freeway. That's the address to make your way on out here. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Great food, great drinks. As I see people, somebody just ordered some wings, and I think they got a special on boneless wings on Thursdays. I'm certain.
I think that's it right there, Bob.
Yeah, you get that 2-for-1 action. So come on out here and enjoy yourself. Got a chance to get you some wins as well as we've got prizes to hook people up. Man, I'm going to tell you what, man, it feels like it's time to talk some football. You know why?
Why is that?
Well, because football talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus.
Boy,
you can't count
with it
on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL. To get started today, our guy J.J. Watt, he called the game, the ass kicking that the Texans put forth on the Baltimore Ravens. He called that game on Sunday, and he was on Pat McAfee, and he really had a lot of the conversation that we've had since Monday. In that is, are the Texans really building something? Have they really found their stride? Are they a good team, or was this just the Ravens just being that bad?
Combo of both, for sure. I've played in that stadium a few times. Texans, that's their first ever win there. So I've never won there. And anybody who's played there knows, like, the Ravens, that place, it's just you expect to go in there and have a violent, physical, tough football game where the offense is going to hit you in the mouth. The defense is going to play strong ball. The crowd's going to be good. And I was saying in our pregame a little bit, even day games kind of feel like night games there just because of the black and the purple and the defense and just the aura of the place. And this game was none of that. This game, after about halftime, maybe a little later, but not even, felt like a preseason game. And the fourth quarter really felt like a preseason game. And it just, the Ravens are depleted on injuries. There is zero question about that. They have a ton of injuries all over. I think almost half of their salary cap was on the bench for this game. But Kyle Van Noy said himself, look at the 49ers. They have a bunch of injuries. They don't complain. You got to find a way in this league. And it was a very, very poor product, unfortunately. And for them, crazy. They're still the betting favorite to win the AFC North, but they got to figure it out quickly here. The bye week next week is going to be massive for them.
All right, Clint, obviously you have watched the film, and we've talked this over the last 2 weeks against the Titans and the Ravens. They have not been the best opponents, especially offensively, for this team to face.
Well,
but,
I mean, look, can I disagree with JJ to start with?
Go ahead.
No.
I know he was laying out kind of like before you get to the stadium and like right when you get to the stadium before the game what you expect. The truth of the matter is that's not Baltimore anymore.
Yeah.
I think that ship has sailed. You can blame it on so many guys being hurt, half the salary cap being hurt. That team I watched play wasn't coached well. They didn't bring any energy, no passion. Obviously, the depth is trash. I mean, I think that ship has sailed for the Baltimore Ravens, of where you go in there and they're the most physical team on both sides of the football when you play them at their place and nine times out of ten.
It used to be.
Somewhere else. So, I think those days are over, JJ. Otherwise, you know, it's – I'm hearing.
Yeah, but the last two opponents, the Titans that we watched the Texans play, then obviously that depleted Ravens team, right? Like they did a lot of good things. We talked about it. It looks like they found something offensively, but Seattle, the Niners, we watched them against the Jags, have some struggles already. The Broncos, who just beat the Eagles, right? Those teams, Clint, are going to. They're going to cause different problems, right? I don't think it's going to be as easy. So what for you when you watch it say, all right, these are things that I'm looking at that I'm not going to anticipate being what we've seen the last 2 weeks?
It's just what anybody with any sense is looking for and looking at when the Texans travel up to Seattle. I mean, there is clear in the last two ball games, the push by the offensive line, which includes, let's say the push in the run game, so it includes the tight ends and the wide receivers. It's been really good to great. You look at the separation from pass catchers last week, it jumped off the screen how many guys were not just catching balls, but were catching balls with nobody within 3 or 4 yards of them, right? The separation that wide receivers are creating. And then Brandon Scott mentioned something yesterday that I hadn't given much thought because it was such a thorough ass-whooping. They cleaned up the penalties. Right, and the whole time B. Scott was talking about that, cleaning up the penalties yesterday, I said, well, you know what makes it real. We hear D'Amico Ryans talk about technique and mechanic and hand placement and running your feet and all this, right? You know what makes it really easy to do those things?
What?
When the opponent is awful. when the opponent quits.
When you're a tackle and you're not trying to get an advantage,
yeah,
you're lying your ass right up on the line of scrimmage.
I got you, man. No problem. Yeah, I mean, that makes it really easy. And so when B. Scott was talking about it yesterday, I said, you are correct. The penalties obviously were cleaned up a bit. But that is, to me, that's a product. Typically, when you get a team that just physically doesn't have the ability to match up, then all of a sudden you see a bunch of penalties because their offense, their tackles are hanging on for dear life, right? Their running backs are riding somebody's back in pass protection, right? The guard that's trying to get up to the backer in a run game, you know, is getting up there and holding that guy. So, you know, that's the thing is when we go, it's one thing to say, yes, the opponent in the Seattle Seahawks is significantly better. It's another thing to say, well, the environment and Monday night primetime is going to be through the roof crazy, right? And you're they're on the road, so it's going to be a tougher environment, right? But it's another thing to expect those three things. To me, those are the three big things that were obviously present in a big way over the last couple of weeks. And can they, to any degree, you know, carry that over into a Seattle game? And by the way, I'm not saying that I don't expect them to. I expect them to carry it over to a certain degree. Like I said before, I think the push the O-line's getting in the run game, I don't think it's only because the opponent stinks. I think they have spent a lot of time clearly working their double teams instead of focusing on getting somebody up to the second level of linebacker depth. They have clearly said commit wholeheartedly two guys to moving this tackle's ass out of the hole so that we've got some space. That's a change in scheme. That's a change in what they're trying to do. I think that's going to translate. Is it going to translate to the level of where, you know, you can run it the way that Woody Marks did two games ago or the way that Nick Chubb did last week? I don't know about that. I'm going to bet heavy that the separation that the pass catchers had last week, that's not going to happen. This is going to be one of them games where, as you always say it, the stars got to stand up.
Yeah.
Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz, I think Woody Marks in the pass game, Nick Cayley, obviously. Like, Nick Cayley could pick any play he wanted last week, and the odds were that defense wasn't going to be able to keep up. That's not going to be the case this week. So those guys have to really
be
difference makers.
Is Dalton Schultz going to be that open?
Yeah.
You know, early in games, is Christian Kirk going to be able to create 15 yards of separation on that down the field pass that they were able to complete in the second half? Those things, I still think, probably I agree with you, are some questions for the Texans. Coming up, the Rockets, they played what will be their last preseason home game last night, and the first time we got to see Kevin Durant in a Rockets uniform. And boy, if this is what the Big Three is going to be, whew, this is going to be a dangerous team, and maybe even better than most people thought when they got Kevin Durant. We'll talk Rockets coming up next.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings at I-45 in Ritchie, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Elbow J, and that's his first make, albeit in the preseason, with his new team.
There it is, man. That's the first shot from Kevin Durant, and he had many last night that went down. A cool, easy 20 and 23 minutes from Kevin Durant. By the way, we are live here, Buffalo Wild Wings here, right off Ritchie Road. Come on down, have a good time. And if you're in the building, you've not put your name in our raffle box for your chance to win prizes. There is that big white box right there, as Osita right there is holding up a projector. You got a chance to win that. Also, gift card to Texas Star Grill Shop. Go to one of their three locations and be able to get some of your grilling needs. All you got to do is put your name in our raffle box, and you will have a chance to do so. All right. The Rockets Big Three finally played in a game together, a preseason game together last night at the Toyota Center, and they look good. They look good,
I turned that joker on. Kevin Durant was in that uniform. I said, let me settle in for a minute, man.
Settle in a little bit, man.
All I did was see him go. They pulled him out of the game, and next thing you know, my two-year-old jumped on me talking about it's time to go. So I had to go. So you're going to tell me all about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he looked nice, that whole crew. If we think about the Big Three, the Kevin Durant, Alperen Şengün, and Amen Thompson, they all played at least 23 minutes. Kevin played 23 minutes. He got 20 points, two rebounds, one assist, 7 of 10 shooting, 1 of 2 from 3. And, it's what you see from Kevin, man. It's easy. Like, the scoring part, like, in my time of watching the game here, the last 20 years or so, like, him, you know, Carmelo, like, some of these guys just score easy. They got so many different ways to be able to score. He makes it look really easy. He can get 20 in a heartbeat, but he got 20 last night. Şengün, in 27 minutes, he had 13 points, 5 rebounds, 13 assists, 5 of 8 shooting, and he had 4 steals as well. I mean, 13 assists. He's got 19 assists in the last two preseason games, and he looked good in distributing the ball from the center position. And then Amen Thompson, he went 25 minutes, 19.7 rebounds, 6 assists, 9 of 15 shooting, shot 1-3, made a corner 3, had 2 steals and a block. He was really good. And, Clint, I think one of the biggest differences to me is we would watch the Rockets, and, you know, they were winning games, and they were a really good defensive team, and I think that's still where they start. But, you know, like, as we talk about people, man – now, that dude or that chick, she's a good hang.
Who?
They, like, I'm just saying, you know, you talk about people, they're a good hang.
And then I thought you had somebody in mind.
And then there's some people. Then there's some people. Then there's some people that are a bit of a tough hang.
Yeah.
The Rockets, I think, last year, even though you were watching their games, like, they would rough them up. It would be defensive battles. Some people ain't making shots. It'd sometimes be a tough watch. We sometimes may be in the upper 90s, in the low 100s, and you're like, damn, all right. This ain't exactly like watching, you know, watching the Nuggets and the, you know, and OKC play each other. Watching them last night, they're a fun watch now. Like they're play defense, but they're up and down. The pace seems to be much quicker on this team. They've got guys that can shoot. The game just looks more fluid. They appear to be a much, much more entertaining watch than they have been before. They still play their defense. They will, and we saw a lot of steals in the passing lane. But boy, you start getting out Amen Thompson and KD and Reed Shepherd, who's a better athlete than you think. And the only reason why you say that is because he's white. But I mean, I mean, he is. I'm just keeping it as Cam would say, a buck. But they just got guys that can fill the floor and they can get up and down. They were a fun watch last night.
You think that's a scheme thing? You think that's the Ime Udoka thing? You think that's a KD thing? I think all of it.
I think there's a change.
Obviously, yeah. That's what Amen Thompson wants to do.
Yep. I think that's a part of that, too, with him leading the show.
I mean, I think you said it the other day. He's got a real Russ Westbrook vibe to him.
Yeah, and Fred seems to be more probably slowing down. Maybe slow it down. Let's get into the offense.
Point guard, yeah. I mean that's the deal. Is like Fred is tried and true a point guard and can do those things and can shift gears and go up tempo and slow it down. That's the deal, right? Is Amen Thompson is downhill all the time.
I'm not gonna lie to you. Amen Thompson looks like he wants to go Nolan Richardson. 40 minutes.
Nolan would have recruited the hell out of him.
Like there are multiple times he's standing at the out of bounds, like jumping up and down, like he's playing full court.
Got to be reminded. To
like
get
he's
back.
Going. Look, he's playing. I don't even think Udoka reminds him. All right, go ahead, man. Go, but nobody else is trapping. Just want you to know that. But no, that the pace was really really good. And watching last night, you brought up this, and I'll bring a conversation during one of the breaks to the air. And the people, you can jump in on this, 713-572-4610. You said, can Alfred Şengün take another step to become a superstar player? Right now, he was an all-star last year. He was one of the final players voted that didn't make the All-NBA team. He was right outside of making the third team on All-NBA, so he didn't quite make that. Averaged 19 points, led the team, was second in points behind Green last year, but led the team in rebounds and assists. You were wondering if he could be an all-star player. I saw a list that had him as the 14th best player. FS1 did a list that 14th best player coming into the season. They had
an All-NBA?
In the All-NBA. Oh, wow. They had him 14th in the top 15 in all of the NBA. Just projected.
That's rich or no?
I felt it was a little high to me, but trying to project this season, and some of the other guys, like he was ahead of Embiid, but he's been injured a ton. You never know, and they think he's really at 23 years old ready to take the next step. I don't know if he can be. I think he is a star. I think he's already a star. When I think superstar, just from on the court perspective, can he get into himself being an all NBA player? Man, one thing we didn't think about is what he looks like with better players around him.
Yeah.
And his assist numbers can go way up, especially from the center position. And we're talking Jokic level of assists. He may have the ability to have that with KD and Reed Shepherd, better shooters around him. I don't know. You asked that. I wondered about that. I think he can be a top 15, top 12 player in the league this year. I think that is in there with Şengün.
A top 15, top 12.
I think rich. That I can see that. Like I can see him averaging 20 plus a game, double digit rebounds, and 5 plus assists a game. And from a center perspective, like I mean, besides Jokic, I don't know who else is going to be able to fill the stat sheet like that. I think there's a possibility of that.
Well, I mean, that's the deal with the Rockets, right? Can KD? I mean, how high is the ceiling for Şengün, and then how much development can take place in one offseason with Amen Thompson, right? You know what you're getting from one of those guys. How good are the two and three in that three headed monster?
Yeah. Like I have looked at Amen Thompson a lot because I think, boy, you saw his growth from year one to year two, and he can shoot up, but Şengün is one where, hey, you put shooters around Şengün. Şengün was probably he probably should have had more assists than he had last year. He's just you know, dishing the ball out to guys who can't shoot. And you could just see it last night. There was so much more space on the floor with Reed Shepard and KD out there for him to operate, for Amen Thompson to operate. Like, we were talking about the shooting thing. I don't know, boy. I saw a lot of wide open lanes because nobody wanted to help off shooters that allowed Amen Thompson to go one-on-one to get to the lane. I'm sure better defensive teams will show better than that. But I don't know, Mo, if you're a Rockets fan, KD, 20, you know what KD's going to be. It's those other guys around them. That had to be a really excited bunch. I think they got clearly three top 50 players in the league on their team. I think Amen Thompson, Şengün, and KD are clearly three top 50 guys in the league on their team, and they are rolling. Text line coming in. Hold on, show. If Alfie's the top 12 and KD and Amen, goodness, you get me hoops horny all over. You should
hold
be.
On, show.
You should be.
Yeah.
You should be. You have a really good coach.
Hell, it takes a lot to get me there, and I'm hoops horny, and I love that phrase. I've been looking for a way to take the football horny to the court, and hoops horny. Maybe it. I think I may steal that one.
That hoops horny.
And with KD in town, there's a good chance it may get used a bit.
Well, yeah.
The phrase?
Hoops horny?
Well yeah, Tyler. Okay. What do you think I was talking about?
Hoops horny.
KD's a pro, man.
Yeah, he is. All right, coming up. Listen, as we sit here the bye week, I've never felt that I related more to Mina Kimes more than I ever have in my life. She said exactly, I think, how I feel about the Texans and why I think the Texans have a great shot to recover from that 0-3 start. We'll hear what she had to say coming up next.